All right, let me jump into the Right Side Way opening monologue. And I'll remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. And oh, by the way, sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. And I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a minute. Okay, let me ask you something. Do you remember maps? Maps. Do any of you remember maps? And no, I'm not talking about Google Maps. I'm not talking about hitting the button on an app on your smartphone and getting immediate gratification from knowing where you are at all times. I'm talking about a good old-fashioned paper map, the kind with creases and labels and tears and frustration. In the old days, distracted driving, it was not because you were texting behind the wheel. Distracted driving back in the day was because of the effort you had to make to unfold the map and figure out where you were while not absolutely losing your mind while you were driving. But I'll be honest with you, I love maps. In the military, I was trained with old school maps, protractors, compasses, and a stubby pencil to be able to find my way from point A to point B. Had to use things like terrain association, dead reckoning, pace counts, hitting my azimuth, and having that deep satisfaction of walking up to a spot knowing you were where you were, and you did it just with a map. And by the way, maps are not easy. Maps require a brain. Maps require effort. They require knowing where you are at any given time, because once you lose sight of the landmarks on the ground, you're going to have to then reorient the map, look around you, find something that matches, and then regain your understanding of your current position and how it relates to where you're going. It also involves some degree of trust. I'll be honest, it does. You had to look at the map. You got to decide if what you're seeing on the ground matches what's on the paper and how it relates to where you're going. So I used to belong to AAA also. Remember that? AAA. They had a cool feature you could get back in the day called triptychs. Triptychs. I liked it. You told AAA where you were going, and they would build you a set of these map cards that would flip open in sequence so you wouldn't have to fight the giant paper map when you were in the car. But one thing a map could never do, though, was account for when there were changes in the road, like detours or traffic or construction zones. Those were all the unknowns. But then came the era of GPS, and everything changed. Look, I thought GPS was frivolous when it first came out. I eschewed the silliness of trusting a machine to tell me where I was at any given time. But then I went to the Pentagon back in 2009, realized going up there I was going to be driving around basically unfamiliar territory. The big city madness. So I got into my first foray of GPS navigation, and I bought myself a TomTom. Remember those things? TomToms. Anybody remember that? You had to download the updates constantly off of CD-ROMs. But you could select your voice, too. It would talk to you in whatever voice you wanted to select. So, Charlene used to kid me, I had the lovely voice of a young British girl named Mandy, who would speak to me in soothing tones as I traversed the giant metropolis of Washington, D.C. Excuse me, please turn right ahead. Thank you, Mandy. That's very kind. I heard you could download other voices. I heard that one of the choices was Mr. T. Turn right, fool! But I had a feeling that one would incite me to violence, so I never went there. But even Mandy would get yelled at when she didn't know there was construction. And in D.C., there was always road construction. Excuse me, please turn right ahead. Well, I can't really do that, can I, Mandy? Please stand by while I reroute you. Yes, Mandy, why don't you just do that and hurry up? Anyone driving by would see me waving my hands in the air like an orchestra conductor as I shouted at Mandy. But it was still better than the old school maps, really. And now you can just drop a pin. Just post the speed traps for all your fellow travelers. You can see the roads and the construction zones before you even get there. Now you can make a plan in advance. And yes, I always prefer a plan. Maybe that's why I like maps. Because maps are a version of a plan. They tell you where you're going. I can take the road less traveled as well as anyone and see what's down there. I love backcountry hiking and exploring, but when it comes to most days, I tend to like to know where I'm going. And I'm a planner by nature. I'm a list maker. Sometimes when life seems to be getting the upper hand, it actually makes me feel better to sit down and create like an updated to-do list. It's kind of like my map for the day. When I'm really grooving, I'll even make the list and then I'll rank order the various tasks and set my priorities as to which ones I'm going to do first. I have started or helped start multiple businesses, and I've learned early on to do things like a SWOT analysis. So I examine the business case in light of its strengths and weaknesses and obstacles and threats. When I go to court as an attorney, I try to have a litigation plan as my roadmap for the case, with a desired end state in mind for my client that comes from having researched the law, knowing our position before I even get to the judge. I mean, part of that's just me, I guess. I've taken tests to determine what my gifts and talents are, and mine have always been leadership and administration. Basically, I like to plan. I was trained in the Army to conduct detailed planning. Every operation, every mission, every training event. Before I took my team downrange, I had to do a brief back to higher ups to lay out the plan, the map, if you will, for everything from daily operations to escape and evasion, all of it. Now, granted, here's the thing. Not every plan survives first contact with the enemy. That's the truth. But if you don't plan at all, well, you know what happens. The old adage is that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. There's always another old saying, too, from an unknown source that I've heard many times, that when making a plan, remember, the enemy always gets a vote. The first saying means clearly that if we don't think things through and arrive on the scene with a well-thought-out plan, with a roadmap, if you will, for where we're going, with contingencies and logistics and timelines, that we're just dooming ourselves to an increased likelihood of failure. But the other means that as surely as we are making our plans, the enemy is also making theirs. In other words, when the bullets start flying, the enemy has a say in the final outcome. We better remember that. That's why we better have our map, our plan. Maybe that's why I'm enjoying watching the Trump administration work. Because if you get down to it, they told us in advance what the end state was going to be. And we can actually see the plan. Because they announced the plan. And they're actually working the plan. I mean, call it the Trump agenda, the Trump doctrine, MAGA, whatever. The fact is, there appears to be a plan, and they are working the plan. Look, we just spent 4 years watching the Biden administration just put their finger in the air and decide which way the wind was blowing on any given day and doing what they wanted to do. I mean, sure, there were some agenda items here and there, but there was no cohesive effort toward working an actual plan, even a bad plan. In the last 2 years of his administration, Joe Biden rarely even met with the press and just as rarely ever held a cabinet meeting. A cabinet meeting with the people that are supposed to help him make the plan work, and he wasn't even meeting with them as far as we could tell. In the final days of his term, Biden finally held one last cabinet meeting, and he promptly turned it over to his wife, who then ran the meeting while his son, Hunter, sat in the room for reasons we couldn't figure out and looked on. There was no understanding, there was no list, there was no analysis, there was no plan, there was no roadmap for where they wanted to take the nation. Look, you have to know what you stand for before you can truly take meaningful action. You have to know how to get to where you're going before you even get on the road to get there. Having a plan is like having a map. It guides you to your ultimate destination. And if the leader fails, then anyone else can then pick up the map, the plan, and still move forward because it's all right there in front of you. In the absence of a plan, anything can happen. In the absence of a mission priorities and task organization, the unit can flounder on the battlefield. So, yep, I'm a planner by nature. I do try to order my steps. I try to examine the way forward. Then I try to chart the various steps and milestones we need to achieve. And I'm thankful, by the way, to finally have a team back in the White House that actually seems to have a plan and know how to work their plan. Because the American people deserve a plan. Tell us what you're doing. Tell us where we're going. Tell us what's in it for us. Tell us what we'll achieve. Tell us how it impacts us if we do and if we don't. And is there a doctrine? Is there serious analysis? Is there a plan? Are we on a roadmap right now? I would say the answer is finally yes. No traveler should ever be without a map. No leader should ever be without a plan. Yes, plans matter. Plans unify. Plans breed success because they give focus and maintain direction. And again, a failure to plan is a plan to fail, but remember, the enemy does get a vote, yes. And when shots ring out and they soon enough start flying in both directions, the plan gives you the guidance for what to do. And by the way, don't think for a minute the Democrats are going to sit idly by and just let the Republicans have their way. They're not. They're going to do everything they can to impede progress on that roadmap. So how do we nullify their progressive influence? How do we galvanize grassroots support for when times get dicey? How do we keep the team focused? With a plan. With a roadmap. I love a good plan, man. Gives us something to rally around. But the enemy does get a vote, so it better be a good plan, and you better be able to work the plan. But the old adage remains that a failure to plan is indeed a plan to fail. The Trump administration knows the roadmap. They've got it, and we are traveling those roads. Turn right, fool! That's a wrap for the right side way.